live, the Democrat presidential candidates to conservative Americans. You're racist. We'll take your guns, and we'll also take more of your money by raising your taxes. We'll talk about the debate and the possible indictment of Andrew McCabe today on Jay Sekulow Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Well, hello, deplorables. Now I guess we can just refer to us all as racist, because Mayor Pete from Indiana, a state which voted 56% for President Trump, and of course Vice President Pence, who was the governor of the state of Indiana, and a congressman from the state of Indiana, Mayor Pete has said that any of us that support President Trump's conservative policies on immigration and border security are racist. So that's everyone that voted for President Trump. That's about 60% of the people in his home state of Indiana. Take a listen, because this is the first thing. The Democrats have labeled us all in this one debate as conservatives. They've labeled conservatives racist. They've said they will take your guns. But even though you're a racist and we want to take your gun away, we sure do want more of your tax dollars. We sure do want to raise your taxes. We'll take your money too. But take a listen to Mayor Pete, this outrageous statement calling anyone who supports President Trump's policies a racist. It's disgusting. Take a listen.
That people who support President Trump and his immigration policies are racist?
Anyone who supports this is supporting racism.
Anyone who supports President Trump is supporting racism. Well, then let's go to Beto O'Rourke. Now, these were all these kind of the candidates trying to make a name for themselves. But no one was, again, disagreeing with them. In fact, when Beto made this statement, Amy Klobuchar, who's supposed to be like the more moderate on the stage, said, "We all support what Beto says. We all want to take your guns away." Take a listen to the extreme nature of how he responds to the idea of taking people's involuntarily, assault weapons. Take a listen.
Yes, we're going to take your AR-15, your AK-47. We're not going to allow it to be used against our fellow Americans anymore.
That's the U.S. That's someone running for president who's saying, if I'm president, the U.S. government is going to come take your gun away from you. The previous candidate running for president called you a racist. Understand, folks. Then Amy Klobuchar, who was supposed to be the moderate, she said, well, we all support what Beto said. So they all support, they may not say it as extreme, going in and forcing and taking your gun away from you. You're a racist. You don't deserve to have your Second Amendment rights. And by the way, interesting to note, Than, there's not enough Democrats in the House of Representatives to even ban the assault weapon. Only 211 signed on to a resolution to get a bill. You need 218. They've got 230 members, and only 211 would support banning assault weapons.
Yeah, good luck taking that message to the general electorate in the fall, Jordan. That is not going to work. And guess what? He did not run on that message when he ran in the state of Texas, because he knows it's a political loser. And on the comments about racism, Jordan, I just want to set the stage for this a little bit. Remember, this is the president that signed the First Step Back into law, something that minority communities inside this country pushed aggressively for. This is a president under whose term we've had the lowest unemployment rates in minority American communities in decades. Jordan, it's just not rooted in reality. It's rooted in fear-mongering. And I will make this prediction. If that is the platform that the eventual Democrat nominee runs on, they're going to lose by a greater margin than Hillary Clinton lost in 2016.
And we didn't get into how many times they all said how much they want to raise our taxes and take our money to pay for their programs that are out of control. Medicare for All, Green New Deal, the list goes on. Folks, we want to get your reaction to the Democrat debate last night, your reaction to the possible indictment of Andrew McCabe on criminal charges. We're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Are you a racist? You want the government coming in to take your gun? Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live. Remember, pre-order my new book, The Next Red Wave.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life, standing up for our good friend Israel, working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington, battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world, and a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
All right, so let me reset the stage for you. The Democrats' message to Americans last night, and then we'll get into actual analysis of how we thought the Democrats did speaking to their own base, speaking to the people who will choose who the nominee will be from the Democrat Party. Quickly, I will say this. I think nothing changed after last night. I think Joe Biden didn't have that many gaffes. He had one very bizarre string of thought, the radio, the record player. He didn't answer the question, something about American families, something about knowing Maduro. That was very bizarre towards the end of the debate. So it was a moment where you could say, what's going on there? But other than that, I think he did pretty well actually at parrying all of the attacks coming his way. Second, Elizabeth Warren, no one would touch her. That's interesting because she is the one rising in the polls. So everybody was afraid of upsetting other grassroots Democrats, because a lot of times right now people are giving dollars and donations to multiple candidates. Everybody was afraid of attacking Elizabeth Warren. That's a good sign for Elizabeth Warren. In fact, she looked very much like a presidential candidate last night. She kind of held herself out as a presidential candidate. I disagree with all of her policies, but that is my analysis of that. But this is what is so extreme about this party now. It's a Democrat party. Joe Biden's probably up there sometimes. If he is thinking about saying, I don't even recognize this from 10 years ago when I was running with Barack Obama. This is a group that's, you know, Barack Obama wasn't liberal enough and supporting Obama policies not liberal enough for the Democrat Party. And it's true because, listen, to get attention, this is what Beto O'Rourke wants to do. He wants to come in as president, I guess just ignore the Second Amendment and take assault weapons from the American people, though right now assault weapons are legal. Law signed by Congress, they're legal. Courts have not said anything about that. So it's absolutely legal. You can purchase them. We can have the debate on whether that they should be or not, but he doesn't care about that. He's going to come in and take them from you, and he's going to do so aggressively. Take a listen. Do we have it, guys?
Yes, we're going to take your AR-15, your AK-47. We're not going to allow it to be used against our fellow Americans anymore.
So we're going to come in and take it. And you know what, Than? Amy Klobuchar, who tried to play the moderate, and she's getting some praise from this, but she's so bottom of the list of this group, and so is Beto. But she's getting some praise for her debate performance. The truth is, she then said, well, we all support that. So they all don't scream it out like, oh, yeah, we're coming to take your gun. I'm going to take your gun, and I don't care about, you know, not, and it's going to be involuntarily take your gun and curse about it. But she said it just a softer way of, yeah, we're going to ban them. We're going to take them.
Sad state of the Democrat Party, if you ask me, Jordan, because you would have thought there were a couple up on the stage, Senator Klobuchar certainly, but I would go even to Vice President Biden. That was a time to be presidential and to step in. And even if he wants to run in that lane, Jordan, which, like you said, you can have that debate. I don't think it's probably a wise place for him to go. But if he wants to run in that lane, he could have stepped in and said, look, this is a constitutional issue. We have to do this in a way that is within the constitutional framework. That is not the way to do it. I will make sure that we have an open debate with the Congress about what this should look like. Jordan, he didn't do that. And frankly, I think it's a mistake on his part, because had he done it, I think it would have separated him from his nearest challengers. But look, none of them up there on the stage last night had the courage to do it.
I mean, he's in the single digits. I don't think that statement alone is going to get him past that. I will take a call. We're taking phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Someone who agrees with Beto. And I think, listen, to me, it was more, let me just say, it's the tone. It was not, like Than said, it was not him saying, let's have it, you know, we should ban assault weapons. We should go about the legislative process. They're weapons of war. They shouldn't be in the hands of people. We shouldn't. Okay, you can have that political debate in a way that's not so violent sounding. But see, he made it violent sounding. He made it like a call to action. He cursed, yeah, I'm going to go take your weapons and I'm going to take it from you, even though right now you have the right to have it. He didn't explain that that would only occur if laws were changed and passed by Congress, signed by the president, and would probably have to face the Second Amendment scrutiny in the courts as well. But I'll go to the phones. Jeremy in Iowa, online four. Jeremy, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, thank you.
Thanks,
hey, I appreciate the last comment you just made about the tone part, because I do agree with the fact that assault rifles are not needed. He didn't say he was going to take away everybody's gun. He said he was specifically going to take away assault rifles, weapons meant for war. And tone being what it is, you know, I saw Trump act really quickly on the vaping issue with some 400 deaths and willing to ban, you know, all of these juices and whatnot. But, I mean, we've had way more people die due to gun violence.
He's going through the legal process. Here's the problem, Jeremy. He's going through the legal process to do that with vaping. Here's the problem, Jeremy. There are not enough Democrats in the House of Representatives to pass an assault weapons ban bill. You realize that, Jeremy? Only 211 have signed on to it. It needs 218 to pass. So don't even try to worry about Republicans in the Senate. Jeremy, there's not enough Democrats to support assault weapons ban. The president can't do that on his own, and there's not enough Democrats to even get it through the House of Representatives. And they're the party of the left, because there's too many afraid of the political consequences of it. That's who I think you should be upset with.
We'll be upset with the Republican response to not ban these things and not get on, because, you know, the NRA seems to kind of have a pretty strong hold on that.
The NRA is probably at a weaker point now that's been. It's a Second Amendment group. But listen, they don't have to work that hard if the Democrats, who they don't support, the NRA, for the most part, can't even get enough of their own members to sign up to ban assault weapons going into an election year. Sorry, Jeremy. The truth is, it's the left who's still too afraid to actually do it. They'll run it as a campaign issue. They won't actually vote on it. We're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Of course, then, too, we're all racist. Every one of you out there is a conservative. This is why the 2020 race is so important, because any of these people in charge, folks, is very scary when they label so many of us with terms like racist in 2020. Take a listen. This is Mayor Pete. You know, he likes to sound nice and calm and friendly. But if you supported President Trump's immigration policies, which, by the way, in his home state of Indiana, President Trump got almost 60% of the vote. So he just called about 60% of the people in his home state racist. And most of you listening to this broadcast, I'm sure, take a listen to Mayor Pete.
Do you think that people who support President Trump and his immigration policies are racist?
Anyone who supports this is supporting racism.
So you're racist. We'll take your gun. But we would love to take your money. So let's play that as well. I mean, they will, you know, they'll call you names. They're racist. They will take your AR-15 even though you've legally purchased it, even though the laws haven't changed. He's going to come in there, Beto. But you know what they'll all agree on? Raising our taxes. They'll take your racist money. They'll take your racist gun-owning money. Absolutely, 100%. They'll take a lot of it. Take a listen to just some of the candidates talking about that.
You said middle-class families are going to pay less, but will middle-class taxes go up to pay for the program? I know you believe that the deductibles and the premiums will go down. Will middle-class taxes go up? Will private insurance be eliminated?
What we're talking about here is what's going to happen in families' pockets, what's going to happen in their budgets. And the answer is, on Medicare for All, costs are going to go up for wealthier individuals, and costs are going to go up for giant corporations. But for hardworking families across this country, costs are going to go down, and that's how it should work under Medicare for All in our health care system.
Let me just say a shorter version of that. You will be paying higher taxes. You will be paying higher taxes. Costs may be going down for other services because you're paying more taxes, and you may not even need those services all the time, so you're going to be paying higher taxes. Let me go right to Andy Economou and Harry Hutchinson for your takeaway from this debate, just the broad takeaway first. I know we've been pretty aggressive, but the broad takeaway initially.
Broad takeaway is you've got a leftist, left-leaning Democratic Party who has abandoned moderates, except in very few cases of those who were debating last night. Joe Biden came off as a tired old man who is trying to hold on to a legacy of Barack Obama. He made a statement which I, as a prosecutor, find absolutely repulsive, and that is that nobody who has committed a nonviolent crime should be in jail. In other words, anybody who has committed a crime of fraud or child abuse or child neglect that is not violent should not be in jail. We should release people like, you know, Manafort should be out, Madoff should be out. I mean, statements like that. This man has lost it, in my opinion. He has gone off the rails and is not presidential timber.
Harry, quickly.
Well, I think many of the Democrats, they managed to contradict positions that they held as recently as 2018. So Beto O'Rourke, who says now he will take your AR-15, in 2018, when he was running for Senate, suggested that the Texans, at least, could keep their AR-15. So the Democrats basically managed to suggest they are very, very inconsistent. They're a bundle of contradictions.
Folks, we'll take more of your calls when we come back. 1-800-684-3110. We need a next Red Wave 2020. Pre-order my book, The Next Red Wave. It's out September 24th. Pre-order it at thenextredwave.com.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life, standing up for our good friend Israel, working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington, battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world, and a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online Sign up right now, ACLJ.org.
One of our favorite panelists on Jay Sekulow Live is Andy Economou, an attorney with us at the ACLJ. He's got a lot of experience in government prosecution as an acting U.S. attorney before, and of course, on the president's legal team. It's his birthday today. So everybody wish Andy a happy birthday. Happy birthday,
Thank
Andy.
Thank you very much.
I know that Facebook and Periscope are doing that and are excited about that. I told Andy, I'll be very unique. I'll give him, hey, there's a few of these lying around, by the way. We're starting to get them in the office. But a copy of my brand new book a little early, The Next Red Way. That's my gift to you, Andy.
I appreciate it very much.
Happy birthday.
I'm going to take it.
And, folks.
But you may need it as a prop.
I probably will in a minute, actually.
Okay,
need
I'll
that
give it
back. Listen, you got to take it light a little bit on these debate days. Because, honestly, all of these candidates will try to run to the middle when one of them actually gets the nomination, except for maybe Warren and Sanders. Sanders, I don't think is capable of running to the middle. I also think I don't think he's going to get the nomination. Warren, I think, is probably capable of trying to pivot to sound more like mainstream, and she even did that last night. And that's what I wanted to do now. So we played a lot of the sound bites for you, specifically kind of the ones I think were most shocking. CNN just put up a story. We're right on this, and Democrats and liberals understand this. CNN put up, Beto O'Rourke just did Republicans a massive favor on guns. I mean, that's CNN. So, again, that's why I listen to those debates closely, and you focus in, and you realize when no one stepped in to disagree with him, that means that they all do agree with him. Or else they love stepping in and say, oh, I need to comment on that, I need to comment on that. You know, when they did, they said, oh, yeah, I agree. Yeah, we all do want to do that. But I do want to get everybody's initial reaction right from the top and then start taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Remember, we got a second half hour coming up to take all your calls at 1-800-684-3110. First to Than. Than, who won the debate, who was a close second, and of candidates that actually matter, who lost, and was there any surprise person?
Yeah, George, just generally, I think that Vice President Biden and Senator Sanders did everything they had to do to solidify themselves at the top tier. I now think that's the top tier, a tier of two. I think the biggest loser was Senator Sanders, who I think his support is going to start bleeding to Senator Warren. They basically have the same policy positions, but she is a much better salesman of them. She's much fresher. Bernie Sanders sort of had his clean shot at it and missed it. I think that was very apparent on the stage last night. And Senator Warren didn't really go after him most of the night. I think it was clear to her that she was gaining that edge as well. And then Senator Harris, who, as you know, I believe could have a late run at this. I think she didn't do herself any favors last night either. I would put her in the loser category as well, definitely outside that top tier. After that, Jordan, I'll be honest with you, I don't think it matters that much with the other six, but if I had to give you one name who I thought at least stood out, even though sometimes it was in a negative way, I thought Senator Booker got a fair amount of airtime. Maybe he made himself relevant in a cabinet discussion. I don't see him getting the nomination, though.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. As of right now, there's three people to be realistically speaking about. Karl Rove's written that. We've talked about that. That can change. Like we've said, there could always be this someone else that rises up like a Kamala Harris. But certainly last night, she was goofy, weird, bizarre, still can't answer the questions on her role as a prosecutor, on her criminal justice reform, not helping her amongst Democrats, came across very bizarre and out of touch, weird laughing, weird style. And again, that's part of this debate. Debating is part style. It was off-putting, I would say. A lot of her, just the character that she was putting off, and even her, it was like pre-planned after pre-planned. I mean, I couldn't even count, guys, how many times she had pre-planned one-liners. That's never good. It just doesn't work. You have one or two, but a bunch of pre-planned one-liners, it's so fake. Before I get to my take, let me go to Andy, the birthday man, and then to Harry.
Yeah, I think I agree with you, Jordan. Kamala Harris did not do herself any favors. The opening statement in which she looked at the camera and was talking to President Trump was so contrived and so hokey. Klobuchar still believes there was voter suppression in Georgia. That was, she was confronted by Brett Baer afterward with a tweet about that. She believes 53,000 votes were suppressed and Brian Kemp should not be governor. She's out of touch. Cory Booker Spartacus, came across as just a loudmouth and a liar. I mean, he came up in a very privileged community and talking about being a lawyer for deprived tenants, which is a bunch of nonsense. Castro came across again as attacking Joe Biden. Joe Biden was befuddled, bemuddled, had no idea what was, in my view, going on, would let all nonviolent criminals out of jail. I think the ones that, and Bernie Sanders, again, shrill and unfocused. I think the one who, and she kept saying, let me be clear, was the one who probably won the debate last night, and that's Elizabeth Warren. And I think that the support is going to solidify eventually and ultimately around her. And I agree with you, she'll probably, maybe, pivot a little bit to the middle, but she is a lefty.
Harry?
Well, I agree with Andy, and I would say that there was probably only one real winner last night, and that was Elizabeth Warren. I think there were a litany of losers on the stage. Klobuchar was inconsistent. She certainly didn't understand what went on in Georgia. Booker continues to offer what I would term essentially a circus act, which denies his privileged upbringing. Julian Castro was particularly offensive. Beto O'Rourke managed to misunderstand the Constitution. And he's much less effective when he's not swearing. So at the end of the day, Biden is still standing. Warren, I think, will move toward the front runner status. And I think Bernie Sanders solidified himself in third place, but I'm not necessarily sure he has anywhere to go.
Yeah, here's my take. Elizabeth Warren won the debate. People are afraid of even going after, including Joe Biden. She has not yet taken on Joe Biden either. So he hasn't faced Elizabeth Warren. He hasn't had to face her attacks from the left. And I think she's going to be a lot more effective at it than Castro, who he wasn't even correct. So he was trying to play up the whole Joe Biden's lost it mentally game. And he was wrong in his assertion. His facts were wrong. So shame on Castro for doing anything. He should know better than to attack that way. But listen, Elizabeth Warren, everybody was afraid of. I mean, I say that because no one would attack her. No one wanted to engage. You know what that makes you look like? The tough front runner. Now, Biden was under the barrage. He withstood it for the most part, but let me say it again. Warren won. Biden survived to probably maintain his role as number one right now because Bernie Sanders will remain in third, and everyone else will be far behind. I don't think there was a single standout other than those three. I think it was a bunch of failures after that and a bunch of wannabes, even like Andrew Yang with another stunt, money stunt. It's just a rich guy giving poor people money. I mean, that's kind of obnoxious too. It's like a lotto so he can get more names on his email list. As my wife said, who used to work in social media in politics, this is just a ploy to get more people in his database. It's for a rich guy to give people some more money. We'll take your phone call. Second half hour coming up. ACLJ.org. There's a lot there. Cases that we're working on. But again, I encourage you. I've got my new book coming out September 24th. Pre-order it today. We need the next red wave after watching that debate. Pre-order it today. TheNextRedWave.com. We'll be right back.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
So, when you've got a debate moderator who isn't a really tall guy, which doesn't matter, I'm a tall guy. Some guys aren't tall guys. That has nothing to do with your intellect, strength, abilities, anything. May be the difference if you can play professional basketball these days, but in the past, I didn't even stop that. But even I'm a tall guy. I'm not tall enough for basketball. But, you know, Kamala Harris, she, again, in one of her pre-planned this, I just wanted to give you an example of what I was saying, how she had like 10 or more pre-planned one-liners. She had this to George Stephanopoulos, who, again, not a big guy, not a tall guy, doesn't matter, successful guy, smart guy. Take a listen, Byte 77.
Donald Trump, in office, on trade policy, you know, he reminds me of that guy in The Wizard of Oz, you know, when you pull back the curtain, it's a really small dude.
Okay. I'm not even going to take the bait, Senator Harris, but I am going to take this to Senator.
It wasn't about you.
I'm going to take this to Senator Sanders right now.
Because, yeah, I mean, again, just she's weird sounding. She sounds like she's a Wizard of Oz character, to be honest with you. I mean, I take your pick of which one. I mean, kind of like the Tin Man mixed with the Lion mixed with, I mean, so again, just not smart. I mean, it's one thing you want to call the president, whatever, the president of the United States. The moderator who's sitting in front of you, who is a former Democrat political operative for the Clintons, you know, George Stephanopoulos, not exactly, a nonpartisan guy, but I think he does a good job at ABC and in these debates. And she's calling somebody a really small dude to his face. And she thinks this is going to like continue on and people are going to think this is so great. And instead it was kind of, I'm going to touch that. And Bernie Sanders just moving it along. One-liners, planned one-liners that are stinky, and she should fire her writers if she has any writers left. I don't know how her campaign's doing financially. I want to get to phone calls, though, as we kind of work through this debate. And then in the next segment, we'll get into a little bit about what Andrew McCabe, the fired former acting FBI director, could actually be facing legally. My dad was on Sean Hannity's broadcast. That broke after we were on the air yesterday. And my dad was on Sean Hannity's TV broadcast. We will play that for people on Facebook and Periscope during the break. We'll play some of it on the show as well, so you can hear that. And then we'll break down for you the actual criminal charges he could be indicted with if the grand jury comes back with indictments, if that's where the Department of Justice goes. But let's take some of the phone calls on the debate, starting with Dave in California online too. Dave, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Did you notice those people who were screaming and yelling when Beto was saying he would take away your guns?
Oh yeah, they love it, Dave. I mean, this is the new Democrat Party. They don't love Joe Biden. He's not at 51%. He's hanging on at 30% at best in polls. That's the remainder of the Democrat Party. The rest of it, if you really put it together, is very far left. We could play the bite again. It's not like people were shocked with what he said. They were cheering for what Beto said. This is liberals cheering to take your guns away without due process. He could not explain, by the way. He was asked, how would you do this? He never even tried to explain that, the legal process. I don't even think he knows. There is one you could go through, but he didn't want to even talk about that. He just wanted to sound like he would actually be coming in, well, I guess with the military and the police, to take guns. That's what he wanted it to sound like, even though it never happened that way. Take a listen to what the caller's talking about.
Yes, we're going to take your AR-15, your AK-47. We're not going to allow it to be used against our fellow Americans anymore.
And then he gets asked, how are you going to do that? And do we have the sound on that? He gets asked, how are we actually going to do that? If we have the sound, let's play it for people because, yeah, okay. We'll play it in the next segment because when he's asked, how are you going to do it? He can't answer it. He won't answer it. Okay, coming up, taking more of your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Let me encourage you, again, we're getting very close to the launch of my brand new book, The Next Red Wave. Sean Hannity has called it The Next Red Wave is a must-read for anyone who cares about America. It's right on the cover of the book. My dad wrote a foreword for the book. It is out September 24th, but you can pre-order it now at thenextredwave.com. Man, we need one after that debate.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
All right, folks, we're going to get right back to the Democrat debate in just a minute, but we can't ignore the breaking news. Some of you may have seen my dad on Sean Hannity's television broadcast last night. Some of you on Facebook and Periscope just saw that a clip of that as well. But this is big news that Andy McCabe, the fired acting FBI director who was the deputy FBI director involved with the Clinton investigation, the Russia investigation, gets fired by the FBI. Because the Office of Professional Responsibility at the FBI recommended that he be fired. After that, the IG did a report on what was going on with the recommendation that he be fired, and it was this authorization of leaking information. His lawyers have been trying to get the DOJ to drop even the potential of an indictment, and the news yesterday was that the DOJ rejected that offer, which means not 100%, which means likely indictments are coming, likely grand jury impaneled, and that indictments will be coming from the grand jury. How many? It could be three or four, all related to the same thing, which is false statements under oath, Section 18 U.S.C. 1001, false statements under oath to members of the executive, legislative, or judicial branch of the government. That carries, each one of those statements would carry up to 5 years in prison. So we're talking about up to four felony charges potentially against Andrew McCabe, these guys who said, they did nothing wrong. This den of vipers, as we call them in the next red wave, and the Comey circle of corruption. Here's the first one who is likely to face criminal charges. Not guaranteed yet. But they could have put a quash on it. DOJ could have said, okay, we're not going to bring criminal charges here. They didn't. And the U.S. attorney, we know, wants to move forward with them. Now, they've got to get the charges back from the grand jury, the indictments back from the grand jury. But take a listen, well, first to my dad with Sean Hannity. He was breaking it down because this broke yesterday afternoon. So he broke it down last night. As I told people on Twitter, take a moment, take a break from the Democrats calling you racist and talking about how much money they want to raise your taxes by, and watch my dad on Sean Hannity explaining this situation with Andrew McCabe. And I want to play it for all of you listening to the broadcast as well as those of you who are watching.
President Trump's attorney is also the chief counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow. Sadly, Jay has actually had to have clients like me in the past, full disclosure. I apologize for all of whatever I'm whatever trouble you were getting me out of at the time. Kidding, no trouble. But let me ask you, let's start with McCabe. Yep.
His lawyers made an attempt to try to get the case killed. Obviously, the U.S. attorney in the District of Columbia thought there was a case that should be brought. His lawyers disagreed. They took it up to the deputy attorney general under what's basically an internal appeal. The deputy attorney general, and I'm sure in consultation with his team, reviewed it, sent it back, saying, no, we don't think that that you're correct, talking to McCabe's lawyers. And in fact, the U.S. attorney now can proceed with bringing a case, which means it'll go to the grand jury. The grand jury will then hear the evidence and in all probability issue an indictment. That's what happens in these cases. It's not just one count with McCabe. It's three, at least three, according to the report that was issued by Mike Horowitz. Now, let me tell you this. They call it lack of candor, but let me tell you what it says in an indictment. It's called a 1001 violation. It's perjury. And that's what this allegation is. And I want to be clear on this. I think this is just the beginning of the problem for these individuals that were running the Department of Justice. So let's not, Andrew McCabe was not a line agent. Andrew McCabe was the deputy to James Comey and then served as the acting head of the FBI. This guy was in charge of and responsible for portions of what was going on in that fake Bob Mueller scenario we lived through for 2.5 years. Which, by the way, and you haven't asked me this yet, listen to what these members of Congress are saying about Bob Mueller's report. Oh, no, we're going beyond that now. We've got to go beyond that. They got to go beyond that because there's nothing there.
All right, so let's break it down for you. Andrew McCabe, DOJ has given the green light likely to the U.S. attorney to move forward to a grand jury. Andy, as a former acting U.S. attorney,
right,
what does that mean now that the U.S. attorney does?
Okay, what has happened is that the lawyers for McCabe have made what we call a presentation to the deputy attorney general, trying to convince the deputy attorney general, who supervises all United States attorneys, that's the first line of report, trying to convince him not to prosecute McCabe. So now what happens is that the U.S. attorney for the District of Columbia, Jesse Liu, who is a Trump appointee, takes the evidence that has been gathered primarily by Michael Horowitz, the inspector general, and goes before the grand jury and says, here's the evidence that has been identified with respect to McCabe that on four occasions, October 31, 2016, May 9, 2017, July 28, 2017, and November 29, 2017, when questioned with respect to his involvement in the Clinton matter, the Clinton Foundation, and whether he disclosed or authorized the disclosure of an ongoing investigation, said he didn't know anything about it. Those were false statements under 18 U.S.C. 1001, which I have prosecuted under. That statute says that you do not make a false statement to a government agent. You don't have to be under oath. You don't have to be under oath. If you make a false statement to a government agent, that can cause you to be subject to a criminal penalty if convicted of a felony, and which is what it is, of 5 years, and there's a fine of, I think, $250,000 that attaches to that. The grand jury will now hear the evidence, and if it determines there is probable cause that McCabe committed these 1001 offenses, it will return an indictment, probably in four counts. It could be more, it could be less. I don't know how many times he lied or is alleged to have lied. And then he would go to trial in before a jury in the District of Columbia.
And we know there's like four occasions, but there could have been five times in those four, and those could each individually be brought. But what it looks like at a minimum is three or four, Harry, at a minimum. And it could be a lot more, because there's also an issue of, and whether or not it's criminal or not, this would be something, again, the DOJ experts would look at. The IG noted in his report was not just the lacking candor, including under oath, even though you don't have to be under this criminal code, but also that he disclosed the existence of an ongoing investigation which violates FBI and DOJ policy. It constitutes misconduct. Whether or not that is somehow also violates criminal law to privacy rights of individuals under investigation as well. So there could be even more than just the 1001 charges of lacking candor. He was under oath. Again, you don't have to be in violation of this. This charge, each one, if you're found guilty, just one time of it, is up to 5 years in prison. So if you're found guilty of it four times, that could be 20 years in prison. Those are the max penalties. I mean, it could be less, but I'm talking about these are serious felonies is what I'm trying to say. And Harry, this is McCabe's people are trying to make that last minute offer. We know what his argument is going to be. This is just Donald Trump and the Trump administration trying to punish me. But the action that he is being would be indicted for is actually what he did to Hillary Clinton.
Absolutely. So it's also very important to note that this happened before President Trump was indeed elected. That's number one.
Yeah.
Number two, it's important to note that these disclosures that he authorized inappropriately were designed, at least according to the record, to personally benefit himself. So that suggests that there was intentionality associated with this. Excuse me. Third, after authorizing these disclosures to the Wall Street Journal, he then apparently either lied or engaged in deceptive conduct on four separate occasions. Again, that goes to the question of intent. So I think he does face some hurdles with respect to retaining his freedom. Everyone in the United States is indeed entitled to the presumption of innocence, but the record seems fairly clear that Mr. McCabe engaged in misconduct which justified first his termination, and secondarily, it arguably justifies criminal charges being brought, and then it'll be up to a jury.
Andy, you know, let's see, the grand juries in D.C. are always impaneled.
Right.
It's 24/7 grand juries.
Correct.
If this starts moving now, that the DAG, the Deputy Attorney General, declined this request from Andrew McCabe's legal team to drop this. If this starts moving now, I mean, how quickly, or is it impossible to know, could indictments come?
I mean, they could come immediately. All you got to do is go to the grand jury, put an agent up there, have the agent testify with respect to what happened, and then ask the grand, and then have an indictment, and then say, we ask that you return an indictment, go out of the room, and 16 out of 23 grand jurors vote for that there's probable cause. That's it. It could happen tomorrow, because there's always grand juries pending.
And if he's indicted Andrew McCabe, he'd be booked like anybody else.
He would be, but he probably would not be arrested.
He
could voluntarily surrender, but he would be booked and fingerprinted, and he would be, you know, treated through the U.S. Marshal's office, just like any other person who's indicted.
You know, Mary on Facebook said, how far up do you think you would rank him in the deep state players? In the deep state players, when you take out like AGs and the top folks, he's in the top three. Maybe top two. So we'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live. Get the next red wave at thenextredwave.com.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome right back to Jay Sekulow Live. So we're gonna continue to cover the McCabe. You know, if there's indictments issued, we will get to that. That'll probably be again next week. I mean, it could come today, but again, as we're at the end of the week, more likely next week or even later, if in fact those indictments come. ACLJ is working on cases involving Andrew McCabe. A new lawsuit against the FBI seeking records of McCabe's involvement in Comey's spies in the White House. How involved was he with those three Comey spies on the National Security Council? So we're going after McCabe, too, the way we can through the civil process and the FOIA process. He showed up in our FOIA lawsuit against the FBI and DOJ over the Clinton-Lynch tarmac meetings as well, and over the sham investigation of Hillary Clinton in our FOIA lawsuit there. So that's just an update there. We're going to get right back to the debate now. I'm about to take your phone calls. First, I want to play this. When Joe Biden sounded pretty strong last night, sounded like, hey, maybe Joe Biden's got that foot, he's got the step back in his foot. He did much better last night than he has done in the other debates. But he did have a very weird moment, too, a very weird moment. Here's one of his strongest moments, and then we'll play later one of his, I think, his worst moment in the debate, where he sounded more like the gaffe-prone, out-of-touch Biden that kind of just started meandering. But first, I think this exchange with Bernie Sanders, it's a longer one, but it was really good.
Look, everybody says we want an option. The option I'm proposing is a Medicare for all, in a Medicare for choice. If you want Medicare, if you lose the job from your insurance company, from your employer, you automatically can buy into this. You don't have, no pre-existing condition can stop you from buying in. You get covered, period. And if you notice, nobody's yet said how much it's going to cost the taxpayer. I hear this, large savings. The president thinks, my friend from Vermont thinks that the employer is going to give you back if you negotiated his union all these years, got a cut in wages because you got insurance. They're going to give back that money to the employee?
Matter of fact, they will.
Well, let me tell you something. For a socialist, you got a lot more confidence in corporate America than I do.
I mean, that was strong. Joe Biden calling Bernie Sanders out for being a socialist. And the fact that he had so much, you know, hey, you call yourself a socialist. Again, this is Democrats talking to Democrats here. You call yourself a socialist, but yet you have all this faith in corporations to do this. And it put Bernie Sanders on the defensive and made Bernie sound, as usual, like the angrier and angrier Bernie that we have become accustomed to in this cycle, who's lost a little bit of his interesting tone and now just sounds like an angry, kind of just angry old socialist professor. And Joe Biden really got him there. And that was one of the stronger moments of Joe Biden. And I think, again, for Joe Biden, he's going to remain where he remains right now. I still think it's tough to find a state for him to win, but he's going to still probably be number one in the polls by his 30%. And I think Elizabeth Warren may get a few points bump, but probably not enough to where she's unless there are a few outlier polls, not enough where she'd actually be at 30% yet. But I do think we might see Sanders start dropping. Let's go to the phones. People have been holding on. All three of these callers are going to get a copy of The Next Red Wave for holding on. Let's go to Bill first in Wyoming on line three. Bill, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thanks. Hi to everybody there on set, and a special happy birthday for this today. I took away three things from the debate last night. Number one, they say if there's a problem, we're going to throw money at it.
Yep.
Number two, they're going to take away our ability to defend our home and family. Third one is, I believe it was on the southern border, because what I heard was, how can we tell if someone's an illegal alien, terrorist, or child? That sounded pretty weird to me, or did I hear him wrong?
No, I think, again, for the most part, you're right. Even Joe Biden said that there should be this wave of new people. Than he talked about this surge of new migrants on the border. I think we do have the sound on that. But Than, I mean, this was something that stuck out to you as we're finishing out the show today. I want to get to the final calls and that Biden bite that I think showed the gaffe-prone Joe Biden as well, why he's not going to jump up in the polls after this performance. But Than, that's stuck out to you.
Yeah, it's bite 63, Jordan. And just very briefly, I mean, it's this wild position that he has that the solution to the crisis on the border is that there should be a surge of migrants coming over the border and that we should hear all of them. It's not a securing of the border and then a processing of those legitimate. He wants to surge the border. A pretty crazy position, Jordan.
Let's go right back to the phones. Denise in New Hampshire on line four. Denise, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call, and thanks for all the work that you do. Sometimes I think you're doing more for me and my family than the government. I called to make a comment about Elizabeth Warren's the sound clip that you played that big corporations and wealthy Americans were going to pay more taxes than the hard-working middle class. And I think the point is missed there, that many millions of Americans that are wealthy are hardworking.
Right.
They have sacrificed through college and through work. They have not lived off government assistance. They have not, you know, they have done it on their own. And to say that they are not hardworking is, to me, when the left says that Trump and his supporters are racist, I would call them wealthist. They are discriminating against someone who has wealth.
Well, and you know what? They're not making it clear. They're not talking about blue bloods. They're talking about people making a couple $100,000 a year or more. People who are hardworking, like you said, Denise. And that's who they want to raise taxes on much higher. And of course, if you make more than that, they'll go up more and more and more. But they act like that you're a blue blood, that you inherited this wealth, that you're not working for any of this wealth. And the truth is, most Americans who are successful, under what kind of number you want to give it, had to work for their success. You're absolutely right. Let's take Mike's call from Michigan on line five. Quickly, Mike, you're on the air.
Hi, bud. Yeah, thank you so much for taking my call. You know, Liz, growing up here in Detroit, you know, growing up as a UAW, we were staunch Democrats. And the thing is, I don't recognize these people. I don't recognize the party. I don't recognize... Yep. Any of this. This is not, these are people who don't represent America. They don't represent the hardworking man.
You know, I feel the same way, Mike. And I appreciate all of y'all for holding on. You held on a long time, so you're going to copy the next red wave. They don't. I mean, Joe Biden tries to play that up. He tried to play it up in this very bizarre exchange. This is why I think Joe Biden is not going to rise in the polls. So he was pretty good most of the night. He gets a direct question and he goes off the rails. Take a listen.
We bring social workers into homes of parents to help them deal with how to raise their children. It's not that they don't want to help. They don't know quite what to do. Play the radio. Make sure the television, make sure you have the record player on at night, the phone. Make sure the kids hear words. A kid coming from a very poor school, or a very poor background, will hear 4 million words fewer spoken by the time they get there. There's
Thank
so
you, Mr.
much
Vice
we,
President.
No, I'm going to go like the rest of them do, twice over, okay? Because here's the deal. The deal is that we've got this a little backwards. And by the way, in Venezuela, we should be allowing people to come here from Venezuela. I know Maduro. I've confronted Maduro. Number two, you talk about the need to do something.
I'm going to jump in here. It is, the question was like a very simple question was, what responsibility do you think that Americans need to take to repair the legacy of slavery in our country? By turning the record player on? All right, folks. Again, let me just ask you today, pre-order your copy of The Next Red Wave, whether it's an ebook, the hardback, the audiobook. Do it at thenextredwave.com. It's out September 24th, but I appreciate you taking action today.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.